Turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 tonight. I'm so enjoying this study because we are getting to really know our Lord Jesus, aren't we? He has just washed the disciples' feet, a story that is probably familiar to most of us, if not all of us. A story where they're all sitting around the table. He, being the guest of honor, he's the one who said, "Go get the room ready." And he gets up from the table. He takes off his outer garments. He puts a towel around his waist. He gets a basin of water. And he goes around and he washes the disciples' filthy feet. Feet that had been walking on the dusty roads all day. And he cleans them. Washes them. And he does so from a position of great humility, a position of being a servant, because this was one of the most despised positions. I mean, if you were the servant in the house, you would not want to be asked to do that duty. But here we see the Lord Jesus stooping to that level to be a servant to his very disciples. This is a profound example for us, and we're going to continue through that story. He has just washed their feet. He's had that dialogue with Peter, and you know how Peter was resistant. He said, "You shouldn't do this." The Lord Jesus persisted and helped Peter to understand the importance of what Jesus was doing. "I am doing this as an example to you." Verse 12, tonight we're going to pick up the story. John chapter 13 and verse 12, they're in the upper room now. And so after, verse 12, he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again. He said unto them, "Know you what I have done to you? Or do you know what I have done to you? You call me master or teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me.' Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me." We'll stop there. Tonight we're going to look at what Jesus is saying here as he has completed the washing of the disciples' feet. All 12 of them are there. And that's an important distinction to make, because we know that there is one in that group that has already committed himself to doing Satan's deed, to betray the Lord Jesus. He's already committed that. That's already happened. And now he sits around this table, sharing a meal with the Lord Jesus. Well, we see Jesus, the setting, he takes off the towel, he puts on his outer garment again, and he sits back down at the table. And he asks the disciples this question: "Do you know what I've done to you? Do you understand? Are you getting it? Do you realize what just took place here?" Now, I believe that and we're getting to know the disciples as well through all of this, but I believe what the disciples saw, they saw their Lord washing their feet, and they got the fact that that just doesn't make sense. But it doesn't seem as if they went far enough with this whole lesson, this whole intent behind what Jesus was doing. And Jesus says, verse 13, you call me, notice we're focusing now on a title here, you call me master or teacher and Lord. Well, you're saying correctly, because that's who I am. I am your teacher. I am your Lord. Now, if you look at those two phrases, master and Lord, teacher and Lord, you come to understand that it's the teacher, the one who declares, that it's like the rabbi position, the one who is teaching truth. But the Lord is one who's in charge, one who has authority, one who is able to make decisions. So you call me that. You call me teacher. You call me Lord. Good job. You're right. That's who I am. Well, if I then, your Lord and Master, and notice he flips it around, he emphasizes Lord. If I, your Lord, your authority, and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So what's the lesson? Well, the lesson here is follow my example. Because indeed, that's what he says for verse 15. He says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So this whole thing was to present the disciples with an example of what? Of how to wash feet? No. No, it wasn't about washing feet. It was about having a heart of humility and servanthood. Because if you know the disciples at all, they struggled with that. They had difficulty. They argued back and forth, didn't they? About who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And even remember the mom of James and John, and she comes with her two boys, and they come to Jesus, and she says, you know, I'd like them to be privileged position. Now, let's just remember something, okay? Let's remember that these men are anticipating a political king, a takeover. And if Jesus indeed is the Messiah, then, hey, he's going to have a kingdom, and we're his closest allies, and you can begin to see and understand, well, wonder what region I will rule. I wonder who will be his right-hand man, his advisors. Well, we know that that is not what was going to happen. We have an advantage over these disciples. Before we're too quick to judge them, let us remember their knowledge, which was much more limited than our own. But nevertheless, Jesus is confronting an attitude of superiority. And he's addressing it not by a rebuke. Well, maybe it is a rebuke, but it's not verbal. It's by an example. What a way to lead, isn't it? What a way to lead. I mean, the Lord Jesus here, he's leading, and he's leading by his example. He's saying, yes, he's saying the right things, but what's speaking louder? It's his example, and he wants his disciples to understand that. Pay attention to what you see me do. What's going on in Jesus' mind at this point? Jesus knows his hour has come, right? He knows it's come. He knows and he understands that tonight, this very night, he's going to be betrayed. He is going to go through trials. He's going to be beaten. And he's going to be bloodied, and in the morning, crucified. He knows that. That is on his mind. And so what is he doing? He's preparing his men for that upcoming trial. He's preparing them. And what is he focusing on? He's preparing them to be his messengers, his ambassadors. Because why? He's going home. He's going to his father. Now, he knows all of that. And we know all that because we know the whole story. But his disciples don't know that. They don't understand all of that. And so they have this issue, but Jesus says, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Perhaps this might have been in the mind of the Apostle Paul when he wrote in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, Jesus here emphasizing that they are to follow his example. Verse 16, we read, verily, verily, I say unto you. And I don't know if you've ever looked that up in the book of John, the Gospel of John, but it appears 25 times, that phrase, verily, verily, I say unto you. It's only in the Gospel of John, that combination of phrases. Truly, truly, some of your translations might say. It is a phrase I believe Jesus uses to introduce a profound teaching or emphasize the teaching that is to follow. And so as a reader of the Gospel of John, when we see this phrase 25 times, make sure you're paying special attention because I believe it is an emphasis. Truly, truly, I say unto you. Well, what follows? What's he say? The servant, verse 16, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Well, what does this mean? What is this principle here? At no time is the servant of the house greater in authority or power than his Lord. Even if the Lord, the master of the house, is not in the house, the servant still is a servant. He's still a servant. Same thing with the messenger. You have a messenger, he's sent with a message, but by his very position, he doesn't carry the authority. It is the one who gave the message. It is the one who spoke. And he's carrying that message to another. And so what's Jesus saying here? The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Well, what we're seeing here is that Jesus, he displayed the heart of a servant from the position of a master. Understand that Jesus took the form of a servant, yet he was the master. He was the Lord. And he stooped to the level of a servant to do the servant's role. And so, disciple, since you are not even called a master, you are not the teacher, you are not the Lord, you cannot assume some position of greatness, for that is mine. Neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. That's an emphasis in the Gospel of John, this sending. Jesus, I was sent from the Father. I do my Father's bidding. And indeed, this is going to then translate into Jesus as he sends out who? These guys, he sends them out. Apostle, that very name, that word, means sent one. And so therefore, the sent ones, the apostles, as they are sent out as messengers for the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not greater than the messenger. They carry the message. And so Jesus is emphasizing for these men, listen, remember this principle. Remember who you are and who you represent. Remember who you are and who you represent. These disciples, what Jesus is doing is he's saying, listen, men, live in such a way as you saw me live, serve one another, for none of you are greater than anyone else. Because what did you see me do? I am Lord and Master, and I stoop to the lowest level. I ask you to follow my example. So what's that mean? You serve one another. You know what that means is that as the apostles were sent out to minister the word of God, it didn't mean that they go into the center of town and demand the nicest places, that they demanded the money for their teaching. No, they went and they served. They served. And they served their Lord. And they didn't come in as a position of a great Lord. They came in from a position of being a servant. Well, verse 17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Well, this brings to mind that verse in James chapter 1, doesn't it? But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Or how about that story, kids, in Matthew chapter 7 of the man who builds his house upon a rock? And you know how that whole story begins is Jesus is speaking of those, if you hear what I say and you do them, you are like whom? Which one? The man who builds his house on a rock or the one who builds it on the sand? The one on the rock, the wise man. The other man is called what? A foolish man. And hear what Jesus is saying to his disciples, to the ones that he's going to be sending out, to the ones that he's going to have as his representatives. If you know these things, if you perceive and you understand these things, happy are you if you do them. Do them. It's so easy, right, to know things, but to not do them. And we're not strangers to this point in the Gospels, because time and time again, Jesus emphasizes, you hear and you do. You hear and you do it. You practice it. Practice what I teach. Well, verses 18, 19, and 20. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, as you look at this in the scene that is before us, Jesus is teaching these men to be servants and to be humble, all the time knowing that there sits Judas, his betrayer. He sits right there. Could it be that he's making an appeal to the heart of Judas? I mean, let's face it, he did choose Judas to be one of his disciples, didn't he? Judas, he was one of the 12. We cannot debate that. He was one of the 12. He traveled with Jesus. He was sent out by Jesus to go and minister in the towns and villages earlier in the ministry. He was one of the 12. Indeed, he carried the purse. He carried the money bag for the group. I firmly believe, as you look through this story, the disciples had no idea of Judas's heart, where he was at. You don't see any intuition here coming out or any idea from these disciples as to a prior understanding. Now remember, John, yeah, he wrote this gospel many years later, so he adds in his narrative portions his explanation that Judas was the betrayer. But during these times when they're happening, I believe that it was something new and strange to them. And so Jesus, "I speak not of you all," would have caused some of these questions to be going on in their mind. Not of you all in regards to what? Well, blessedness maybe? Or he understands that Judas is not going to have an opportunity to practice these things because of what he's about to do. But indeed, he did choose Judas. Why did he choose Judas? Oh, that's the age-old question, right? Why? Why would Jesus choose Judas Iscariot, if he knew, being God, knowing all things, what he would do? Well, I believe at least part of the answer is here. As Jesus says, what? That the scriptures might be fulfilled. Well, then that takes us back another question. Well, why does God inspire the psalmist David in Psalm 41 to write such a thing that we're going to see here in regards to the prophesying of his son and the upcoming death? Why would God incorporate a betrayal into his redemptive plan? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. But the matter of the fact is, he did. Perhaps it's because it provides even greater authenticity, maybe? Because it begs the question, well, why would God incorporate a betrayal? That adds even more. Well, you could question all day, why would God have crucifixion, you know? Go to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. In verse 9, this is a psalm of David, and from my studies, it seems as if scholars believe that in this verse here, it is a reference to Ahithophel. Now, if you know the story of David, Absalom, his son, rebels, and Ahithophel, David's trusted advisor, betrays him and goes with his son who's rebelling. And Ahithophel then becomes Absalom's advisor. And the story is very interesting. It's a fascinating read in 2 Samuel 15, 16, 17, if you want to check it out. But Psalm 41, verse 9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Now again, it is clear that Jesus takes this as a prophecy of Judas and himself. Now whether the psalmist David wrote it with that intent, we don't know, but certainly God inspired him to write it. And we know that God, knowing all things, has it fit together just like this. And so in John, Jesus says that the scripture might be fulfilled, "I have chosen Judas to be one of mine." So in other words, keep in mind, a betrayal takes place only because you have one who has been a friend, one who has shared the table, one who has been trusted. It wouldn't be a betrayal if it was an enemy. It was a friend. And that's what makes it a betrayal. And so therefore, what we're seeing here is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And here's the picture of what that really means. I mean, if you want vivid picture, this is vivid. You're eating at the table with your friends. And you are enjoying the meal together. But somewhere in the midst of the meal, one of your friends gets up and kicks you in the face. That's the picture. That's what's happening here. That's the emotion that I believe the Lord Jesus is experiencing and will experience as Judas, as he sees Judas come in that garden with all of those guards and the torches and everything else. And here comes one of the ones he chose. He's coming and he kisses him. You realize kissing in the Bible is a form of greeting? It's the handshake of the Bible. And Judas kisses him as a sign, this is the one. It was his betrayal. Verse 19, now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am. And again, we're seeing the heart of the Lord Jesus as he's caring for these disciples. Again, Judas is still sitting here. Judas hears this message. What do you think is going through Judas's mind? I mean, Jesus has just called him out without saying his name. But he has said, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. I cannot imagine what's going on in Judas's mind, except for the fact that he's already given himself to the deed. He's already done it. In his mind, it's done. That's how committed he is. But the Lord Jesus, this is his reasoning. I'm telling you this before it happens, so that when it does happen, it's yet another sign that you might believe that I am the Christ. Jesus is prophesying here. He's prophesying. This is going to happen, men. And I'm telling you this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you might believe I am He. Jesus cares about these men, and He longs for them to get it. And He, knowing what is about to come, knowing that the disciples that are sitting around this table at this moment, they will abandon Him. He knows that. But He is planting seeds in their minds so that when things happen, it will come back to their mind. He said this, He said that, it would happen, and it did. It must be Him, Christ. Well, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you again, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And I believe this is one of those phrases that as the disciples watched Jesus ascending up into heaven, the last time that they would ever see him on earth, this would have been one of the phrases that would have been coming back into their minds. This would have been a phrase that would have been in their mind that day of Pentecost when the Spirit comes and dwells within them and they are launched into the foundation building of the church. And these words would have rang in their hearts and their minds. He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You, my messengers, you, my apostles, you will be going out. You will be going forth as my representatives. And know this, men. He who receives you, they will be receiving me. And he that receives me, they will be receiving the Father. you will play a very powerful role in the spread of the message of the gospel about me, Jesus says. And you can do so with great authority and power, knowing that I have sent you, knowing that you are my messengers. Well, what do we see tonight? Well, we see Jesus emphasizing humility and servanthood. We need to be serving one another. That needs to be something that is evident in a part of our life, of our church, in our homes. We're to be serving one another. We also see the heart of the Lord Jesus in that he cares for his own. He's got a deep devotion and love for them to the point that he seeks to communicate truth to them to prepare them for the days ahead. Dear ones, know this. God cares about you, and he seeks to give you the strength and the ability to go forth and to be his ministers. We're sent out. We are ministers for the gospel, God's ministers. And we are called forth to minister on his behalf, but we represent him. We speak of him. And when they receive our words, they receive him. They receive him. Lord, I thank you for just a precious time of just getting to know you more. And I thank you for this word, and I thank you for the... I'm so glad you came to earth, Lord. I'm so glad that we have just a little glimpse into your life and the way you lived. And Lord, now even as we approach the resurrection and celebrating the resurrection even now, Lord, it is such an encouragement to our hearts. As Lord, we believe you have sent us out to minister in our own spheres of influence. Pray that you would encourage each one tonight. Help us, Lord, to be servants and to be humble. And I thank you again for teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen.